Good evening. I wonder how much brain cells we have left for a day full of a wonderful, challenging theme about the Lord's coming. But I would like to share with you this thing, that it's never enough talking about somebody you love. Don't you agree? All right. Well, if you love the Lord Jesus, the wonderful and as wonderful as He is, talking about Him, we can sit the whole night here talking about Him. Well, don't get scared. I'm not planning to sit all night here talking about Him. I know you have bowling right ahead of you and some pizza. And I definitely was about to change my mind and come, but... But rest assured that you'll enjoy that, Lord willing. Actually, in a day like today, when we hushed mostly a lot of scriptures talking about the Lord Jesus coming, I was sitting wondering what would the Spirit of God would grab our attention to at the end of this day. And I thought maybe Romans chapter 13 would be a good portion if you want to turn to it. And I'm looking at the last few closing verses of Romans chapter 13. And I'm going to read from the New Translation, starting from verse 11, chapter 13 of Romans, and verse 11. This also knowing the time, that it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is near. Let us cast away, therefore, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, as in the day. Let us walk becomingly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and lasciviousness, not in strife and emulation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If you want to turn also to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I'm looking at verse 16. We'll read just verses 16 and 17 for the connection's sake. One expression out of these two verses I would like to connect with what we read in Romans 13. Verse 16 of Revelation chapter 22, I, Jesus, blessed be His name, have sent mine angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, or according to the original, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears this say, come. And let him that thirst, or a thirst, come. He that will, let him take the water of life free. First portion that we read from Romans chapter 13 is the words of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God. We all know that the epistle to the Romans were not the first epistle historically written. But I'm sure we all know that the Romans deals with righteousness. Deals with this question, how can a man be justified? In chapter 3 of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul comes to this conclusion. All have... Well, if you don't answer, I will kind of realize that you're half asleep.
Sin.
All have...
sin.
All? That means what? 99.9%? All means 100%. Right? Everyone. You can take the word all and put your name there. Well, how can a man be justified? This is a difficult question Job asked in the Old Testament. When Job asked this difficult question in the Old Testament, he asked along with it another question. Is there somebody that would reconcile man to God? Man is all the way down. God is all the way up. Is there somebody that would be equal to God and in the same time equal to man, that would put one hand in the hand of man and put the other hand in the hand of God and reconcile fallen man to Almighty God? Can you think about it? This is a very, very difficult question. There was no answer to such a difficult question. Such a difficult question is who would reconcile man that is fallen, that is dead in sin and trespasses, to God that is righteous, that is all holy and almighty? And Job stood before this question, handicapped, unable to answer this question. And Paul agrees with him. For all have sinned and came short to the glory of God. So is there any answer? This Savior has to have some characters. He has to be equal to God. He has to be equal to man. He has to be a God. Or he has to be God. And he has to be man. His soul has to be his own. He cannot be a created being. He has to be someone that his soul belongs to him. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. One of the philosophers in the old years of 1600 some said, well, man is miserable. Man is miserable because he is fallen. He's absolutely right. David, in his days, could realize the same thing and say, who is man? Who is man? But God, in his sovereign power, had a wonderful plan. The Lord Jesus, who is God, who is the Creator, who is the blessed forever God, came down and took a form of man. Isn't that what we were talking about this morning? The same wonderful, almighty, powerful God humbled himself. Came all the way down and became born in a manger. You know why? To identify with all of us. How many here were born in a hospital? Okay. And how many were born in a house? Okay, few. Anybody was born in a manger?
Laid in a manger.
Laid in a manger. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Anybody was laid in a manger? Along with the animals? Well, the Lord Jesus was. Yes. You know why? To go all the way down, to be as humble as humble could be. That he would take those that are all the way down and bring them all the way up. That's what we were ending our day today. Glory. Glorious Lord Jesus went all the way down, hid his glory, went all the way down, not just to the manger, but to death. that he might bring those that are dead in sin and trespasses and bring them up to the highest point of the universe in the Father's house. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and I want you to, if you did not listen to any of the words I said before, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and if you know him as your personal Savior, I would like you to tap on your own shoulder and congratulate yourself. But that's not what you did. That's what the Lord Jesus did for you. As wonderful as this is, that's not what's in my heart. What's in my heart is, the Apostle Paul, knowing all this, where we were and where we end up positionally, he is giving us some practical instructions in how to live in those last dark days. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 says few things that are nice. I will just quickly touch on them and give room for our dear brother Joe to speak to us a little more. There is a Christian that is mentioned in chapter 25 of Matthew that went to sleep. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? They all went to sleep. And when they were asleep, a cry came around. The bridegroom is coming. All 10 of them came up and started fixing their lamps. 5 of them had oil in their lamps, and 5 did not. The oil in the scripture is a wonderful symbol of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in your lamp, chances are, when you start trying to light it, it will light up. And this kind of oil is not for borrowing. And it's not to be bought either. It's to be given free. Believing, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I would like if every one of us sitting in your seat, ask yourself, am I sealed with the Holy Spirit? Did it come that time in my life where I realized that I'm a sinner and I realized that the Lord Jesus came to save me? Not to save all the sinners of the world, as wonderful as that truth is, but he came to save me. Did you ever make it personal? If you made it personal, I would like you to tap yourself on the shoulder again and congratulate yourself. Because you are sealed with the Spirit of God. There is oil in your lamp. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 is telling us to awake. Awake. Right? Awake. If you're asleep, I want you to awake. Not me, but the Spirit of God. Awake. We live in a very dark age. Do you want me to bring you some examples of the darkness of the age around us? Look around you. Look around in school. Every time you break into a group of people standing up in one of the corners, you see them discussing something. And if they know that you're a Christian, chances are they will either do one of two things. They will either try to get you on board to discuss the same things that they are discussing, stuff that doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus, doesn't honor him, or if you walk in and you're a good testimony, they will probably stop discussing this. Do your friends do this? Colleagues at school, at work? You know why? Because a Christian that is a child of light, in this dark world, every time you walk around, you bring light to darkness. And the works of darkness is definitely does not like light. No, keep the light down. Chase him away. He's from a different company. He's not from here. He's not from this world. You know what? If they say about you that you're not from this world, I would like to congratulate you again. Because you really are not from this world. If you belong, and we as human beings, we do have a tendency to belong. We would like to be accepted. I would like to advise you one thing. If you're a child of light, Romans 13 tells you not just to get up, but to cast away the works of darkness. The works of darkness does not belong to you. It's not you. You're a child of light. You were once darkness. But the Lord Jesus came to change this darkness and bring His light. His marvelous light. Walk as children of light. Not just walk as children of light, but at the end of the portion that we read, it's asking us to do something that is extremely difficult. Look at verse 14. Put on some clothes you need to put on. If you have your Bible open to this, I want you to look at it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're walking around, it's not going to be Patrick or Mike or Peter or Josh or Sharon or Clara or John. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be the Lord Jesus walking. And I would like to challenge all of us today. When we walk around and we're about to do something, ask yourself, would the Lord Jesus do this? If the Lord Jesus was in my place, would He do this? Cast away the works of darkness, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the same one that we were singing about Him, He is coming again. He is coming as the morning star. We read that in Revelation chapter 22. And in Revelation chapter 22, the Lord Jesus is not just the root and the offspring of David, but He is the morning, bright morning star. And you know what's the bright morning star? Those that study astronomy told us that the morning star comes to be a very bright star. But He comes out in a night where there is great darkness. Somebody is right next to you in a night like this, you would not even see him unless he touches you. The morning star will come, but he would not be seen by those that will be asleep. Right? Unless you are watching, waiting to see the morning star, you will not see it. You will miss it. If you're asleep, you will miss it. You don't want to miss such a wonderful scene. The Lord Jesus is coming again. And I tell you, the wonderful youth should be used for the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because that's the best time to serve Him, when you are in full health. I will tell you this, comment, and I will sit down. We had a brother today that is 94 years old in our conference. And I went to him, I put my hand over his shoulder. I said, brother, tell me what you're doing to be 94 years old and looking that healthy. And I expected him to say, well, I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. He said, brother, I will give you one advice. Read the Word of God. Those that wait upon the Lord renew strength. How easy is that? That is. May the Lord help us. He's soon coming. He's soon coming to take those that belong to Him home with Him. And you'll be rewarded for every day, for every moment, for every action that you did for the Lord Jesus. Don't let the time go by without serving Him. Don't let the time go without living for Him. Don't let the time go without winning ground for the Lord Jesus. For His name's sake. Amen.
So I just want to spend a few more minutes, not very long, looking at, in a little more detail, at the verses that Baphomet in Romans, chapter 13, focusing on a couple of key words, the word knowing, the word sleeping, and the word night. So I'll just read those verses again. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the apostle here leads off with this word knowing, and he says, and that knowing. So the first thing that he assumes is that we know the time. Now, this word know, I believe, is an intimate knowledge of. So, you know, we have one word in our English language for know. Greeks have many words, at least two. And so we say things like, how many of you know President Bush? I know President Bush. We say, I know President Bush. How many of you know your mom and dad? We say, I know my mom and dad. Do we mean the same thing? No, we don't. I don't know President Bush good enough to go to him and say, you know what? I need 50 bucks. But I know my dad well enough to say, hey, dad, I need 50 bucks. And I know the answer that he'll give. So here the scripture is saying, we know in our gut the time. And that knowing the time, and what time is it? It is time to awake out of sleep. So any of us who are sleeping now, it's the wrong time to be sleeping. What are some of the characteristics of sleeping? We've all been asleep, right? So a couple of characteristics. One characteristic is that some people, when they sleep, they engage in noisome activity. You know what I mean? They snore, right? And the sleeping Christian is a Christian who's engaging in things that are not becoming of the Lord. The second thing that occurs in sleeping is that we don't know what's gone on while we were asleep. There's a story by Rip Van Winkle. Have you ever read that story? A guy who went to sleep, I think, for 20 years. And then when he woke up, things had changed drastically from when he went to sleep. So when we are asleep, we don't know what's going on around us. And consequently, if we were to walk around in our sleep, we would stumble and fall and things like that. And so the Apostle Paul says, being that we actually know the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Why? One, because we know the time, and two, because the Lord is coming. Our salvation is now nearer than when we believed. So I've known the Lord for, I don't know, 30 years or so. I can tell you this, that today the Lord's coming is sooner than it was 30 years ago. And today the Lord's coming is sooner than it was yesterday. So because of those two things, because of the time, and because of the fact that our salvation is nearer than when we believed, we need to awake. If we are asleep, we need to wake up. Now, people generally sleep when? Nighttime, right? And so the Apostle Paul here mentions the night. Verse 12, the night is far spent. What do people do in the night? So we just had a hurricane go through New Orleans, right? And one of the things that if you have television, you've seen or you read on the internet, there's a lot of looting and lawlessness. Now, when does most of that looting and lawlessness occur? At night. I read a story about people who were in the hurricane, and they were boarded up in their apartment. And at night, the woman who was interviewed said that she heard people screaming because they were being raped, or people, gunshots going off. At night. The nighttime is when man engages in his worst activities, because men love darkness. And so the time that we live in now is dark time, a time of terrible things. And we as Christians, we have the answer for the world's difficulties. And so it's a terrible thing for a Christian with the answer to be asleep in this particular time. We have the answer for people who are in pain. We have the answer for people who are hurting. What we shouldn't be doing is we shouldn't be asleep. The night is far spent. It's not just like it's been night just today. It's been night since the world has started. From the fall on, it's been night. And that night is far spent because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And so given that it's far spent, and we can see it every day. You know, when I was young, somebody said to me, you know, when you're almost 50 years old, some guy is going to crash an airplane into a building and kill himself, I would have said, you're nuts. But since that time, we see people strapping bombs on themselves, going into a crowd like this, and blowing themselves up. The night is far spent. There was a time when the death penalty was a something that could be used to prevent crime. Not anymore. People kill their family and then shoot themselves. Forget about the death penalty. The night is far spent. And so as Christians, we need to be awake, involving ourselves in the things that our master would have us to be involved in, because we have the answer for the world. And as a result, we ought to cast off the works of darkness. If we're involved in things that are displeasing to the Lord, now is the time to end it. We need to rather put on the armor of light. We need to walk. How should we walk? Honestly. Like in the day. During the daytime, you look at people, and they're very, very, if you look at people, you know, in the day, they look like everything's okay. I work in the computer field. I do a lot of traveling. And when I go on trips, my colleagues like to kind of hang out afterwards. You know, they go to the bars and they go drinking and stuff like that. And it's nothing to see them in the day, suit and tie, wonderful people. Get on the phone, talk to their wives. Hey, honey, how are you? Talk to their children. I love you. Afterwards, they go to the bars. They go to strip clubs. In the day, they're okay. At night, completely different people. God says we're not supposed to be like that. We are to walk honestly. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in those types of things that characterize the flesh. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting phrase, and I'll end with that. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In us is this wicked thing, the old nature, that has the urge to do the wrong thing. And God says, you know the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming? That the world is a terrible place and needs your testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, both in what you say and in what you do? Don't let the old nature allow you to be like everybody else. But rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have four daughters. And you know what they like to do? They like to get dressed up, right? So when they clothe themselves, they clothe themselves. So it takes them a long time. Mirror, dress up. It takes a long time. That's how we're to be. We're to clothe ourselves. were to make sure that we're properly attired so that when we go out, we have a testimony, which is what clothing speaks of. That when people look at us, they should say, there's something different about you. There's something special about you. What is it that you have? I want it. You can't do that when you're asleep. We are to be prepared every day to live for the Lord because the days are evil and because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And he's going to hold us accountable for what he's given us, both as Christians and the environment that we live in. We live in a place where we can do many things. How do we spend our time? So, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's an active word. That's a verb to make. It's a command. Make not provision. We have to actually actively work at making not a provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
I'd like to just read the verses that are connected with this, and then I'd like to open this up for a little bit of time of discussion. If any of the young people here or any of the other brothers that aren't quite as young have thoughts or anything to contribute, you know, sisters could ask a question if you have a question, you know, about what was just spoken about. But let me just read these verses in 1 Thessalonians 5. In chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Isn't it wonderful that, just think, we were formerly dark. Some of us remember quite well and lived maybe more years in the darkness than we have in the light. And so it's really important to realize how great the work of God is in salvation. That would take us, snatch us out of this realm of darkness, bring us out and bring us into his marvelous light. And what does that mean of what we've had before us here? And that should stimulate some good discussion here. What does it mean?
Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4 and look at verse 2. You know, our dear brother read some verses in Revelation and talked about the bright morning star. But look what Malachi has to say in chapter 4, verse 2. This is, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the star." Son of Righteousness. You know, one thing that you and I all know that's been brought up by our two dear brothers tonight, that you and I are different. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Scriptures will tell us in Romans that you and I are sons of God. We're joint heirs. Scripture would also tell us that you and I know that we have to live, work, go to school, be educated, get a job, have a family. We're in the world. But we're not to be a part of this world. But there is a struggle, a battle that is taking place. One, for the unsaved, so that they don't come to Christ. Well, once Satan knows that he can't get you, he's going to do whatever he can to dishonor the name of the Lord. But Scripture here says here that he is the who? The Son of what? Righteousness. We have a righteous God. Our Father in heaven is a righteous God. He abhors sin of any kind. Remember right this minute, Jesus Christ is interceding for us right now. Has anybody ever thought of that? He's interceding for us because our God is a righteous God. We have an expectation, not we, the Lord has an expectation of you and I. We're going to be challenged. It's nice when we're together. We feel bonded. It's nice. We all hold the scriptures. We sing wonderful hymns. Tuesday. College. Middle school. High school. Work. The challenges present themselves from the moment the alarm rings. And you have to get up. You can never lose sight of who you are. Today, we were reminded of something wonderful. There's coming a day. There is coming a day. And we've heard it now for many years. We know the Lord's going to return. Sometimes we like a callous. You know, you kind of just say, well, I know it's coming, but eh. And we just kind of all of a sudden we blend in. You know, you and I fear man more than we fear the Lord. See, I can touch his brother. I can smell his cologne. I can put my arms around him. I can kiss him. I can hug him. Do whatever I want to do. But you see, with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't touch, smell, feel. But we know him by faith. That one who knew no sin that was made sin. That one in Lamentations that says, huh? What's that verse in Lamentations that says, what's it say? Anybody know?
Not a verse of
the Lamentations. Think about that. That in chapter 1, Josh. Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by? Think about that verse. Dwell on that. Chew it tonight. Chew it tonight. Is it nothing to you? How, if it is something to you, if Jesus Christ is something to you, then when you walk up on Tuesday morning, you wake up and you're ready to do your thing, to school, to whether you're an athlete, whether you're a musician, whether you're a teacher, whether you're whatever you are, you have the responsibility of demonstrating the love and the passion you have for Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ was a God of compassion. How many times do we see the compassion he had on mankind? Whether it was the widow, there's so many times. We all know that. But I tell you, we've been challenged today many times to read the Word. Oh, we can. You know what? You and I have been sitting around meeting so many times. We know what hymns to call out. We know the hymns. We know the verses. We got a bunch of them stacked up. But you know something? Challenge yourself because you love that one who knew no sin, that was made sin for you. Remember, Brother Joe challenged you, and my dear brother, he challenged us with some good things. All day long, you were challenged. I came in late. I missed a lot. But I know the topic. I saw it before I came. I looked at it. Rich, you and I have a great inheritance. You know, Brother Joe mentioned Bush, President Bush. Now, you and I could never entertain coming in and saying, knocking on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, knock, knock, knock. And George opens the door and says, come on in. That ain't going to happen. Not on your best day. You can't pick up the phone and talk to them. You can't email them. Somebody will read the email. You do it long enough and they're going to have the Secret Service after you. But the point is this. But you can come to the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave wisdom of man to build this building that we can sit on the second floor and it's not caving in. We can sit on a chair and don't have to look down and say, is it going to hold us up? God gave man wisdom. This is the one you and I can enter. We can come to at any time, place, and anywhere. But how are we to behave? How are we to behave? You know, my heart was broken. Now, I'm sure many in this room saw some of the things that have been going on this week. My heart was broken. I go at time at nighttime. I lay there with tears. I go to the store this morning to buy food. That's six kids and a wife. That's eight people I buy food for. I'm putting food in the cart and I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these people buying food. And I start thinking about these people and I'm getting a little teary eyed. I'm thinking, can you imagine the way these people are living? And like a brother Joe said, at nighttime, you take the Christians out of this world and there's going to be chaos. The Christians in this world are the ones that are keeping this world together by the grace of God. Remember that. You have to stand out. But we don't want to stand out. You know why? Because the scriptures also say something else in here. You stand up for me, you're going to be persecuted. Oh, really, Mr. Brother Dennis? Tell me, what does the scripture say about that? Brian, stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and see what happens when you stand fast. Job didn't go out carousing with the others. But let me tell you something. They must be thinking about Brother Job. He's got a little odd, you know. But you know something? That's a testimony. That's a testimony. What are you doing in school? What are you doing in school? Are you trying to strive for your own glory? Or are you trying to strive because you give the glory to God? Everything you do has to be done to His glory, His honor. You cannot remember and never forget that Jesus Christ paid a tremendous price for us. Go back to Isaiah. Go back to Psalm 22. Go back to Isaiah 53. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Go to Philippians 2 and read that. That is the character of Christ. That's the one that we should read, Philippians 2. And what does God the Father say about His Son? Let's look at Philippians 2, and then that'll be it. I can go on, but we're going to stop here. But go to Philippians 2. Who can find Philippians 2? Come on now. Somebody stand. We've got it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2.
We have a hand over there.
Okay, where's the hand? Brother, do me a favor. Rise up, because you handle the Word of God. Stand up. Now, here's what God says. Read 9, 10, and 11. And what does God the Father say about His Son? Read on, brother.
Wherefore, God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. I mean, there it is. Now look at the character of Christ. You want to look at your character? Look at yourselves in the mirror when you go home. You can call this brother whatever you want to call him. But I'm telling you, I love the Lord with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I trust you do too. But listen to this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's the one you need to emulate, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, what? But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as a fashion as man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the one that we say on tomorrow morning, where little assemblies flock together. Whatever time they flock together, and they look at the bread, and they look at the wine, and now we reflect back. Is it nothing to you? If it's something to you that Jesus Christ died on the cross and buried, then you're going to behave differently. You cannot behave like the world in which you live. You make a choice. Decisions determine destiny. You made the decision to accept Jesus Christ, so the decision is you're going to spend eternity with Christ. Do you like to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Wouldn't we all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That doesn't come by emulating the world in which you live. That doesn't come by being like everybody else. It comes by having less calluses on your hands and more on your knees. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to spend time in the Word of God. You got to eat, sleep it, and drink it. Because that's the one that you should love. That's the one that's going to keep you walking on a straight and narrow path. He is the Son of righteousness, Malachi says. Don't forget that. We have a righteous God. Think about Jesus Christ interceding for us right now, because God is a righteous God, isn't He? Abhors sin, and you and I say, but we still sin. We sin with our eyes, we sin with our mouths, we sin with our thoughts, we sin all day long, 24/7 we sin. But do you go back in the closet at the end of the day and say, "Jesus, Lord, forgive me for the thoughts that I've had. Forgive me for the words that I've said." Have you ever said, "Lord, there's sin I'm in my life that I'm not even aware of. Bring it forth into me so I can deal with it." And then keep short accounts with things. And then you're going to start to be, what? Persecuted for your faith. We can't even bring people to gospel meetings. O ye of little faith. Do you love the Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Then you got to behave like you love Him. Because if He was going to come, and you know, my mother-in-law, before I got saved, I got saved when I was 28. The one thing she said to me, and I'll never forget it, when you're doing something, if the Lord were to come at that moment, would He say, would He be pleased with that behavior? And that's your barometer. That's your barometer. If people are not going to be pleased with what you're thinking about, get it right. Flee like David did. Or, not David, excuse me. David did flee. Right.
He hung around.
he hung around, got in trouble. But Joseph fled. And that's what we need to do. We need to flee from sin. But you need to dig into God's Word. Keep short accounts. Go into the closet. Examine yourself. Ask the Lord to forgive you. If you don't ask the Lord to forgive you every day and night and throughout the day, and you're not keeping short accounts, guess what? You're going to start looking, behaving, smelling like the world. Hay, wood, and stubble. It's all burned up. It's no good. He's looking for you, young men, young women, brothers and sisters, young and old alike, to be separated from the world in which you live. You were bought with a price. Glorify Him. Amen.
I wanted to just say, I trust it's been a blessing for you all today. It has been for me, but I'm not everybody. I trust that you all can enter into these things in your hearts and lay hold of these things. You know, the Scripture teaches us that we're to buy the truth and sell it not. That means we have to make it our own. Make it our own. And sell it not means you don't give it up. You pay for something. Most people, they pay good money for something. They're not going to just let it be trashed. So we want to make sure the truth that we've made our own is something that we cherish, treasure, glorify God in. So the things that we've learned about, I think this is a nice ending. We had light. Here we are. It's dark outside. We're going to go to a bowling alley. So we're to be not characterized by carousing, but by a testimony at the bowling alley. There's plenty of people there that want to live for now in this world, but we need to be a living testimony wherever we go, whether it's enjoyable or whether it's work, like you were saying. Let's be a living testimony for Christ. Paul told Timothy was a younger man, and he said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be not ashamed. That's one of our big problems in this country. We don't have physical persecution, but we do have the tendency to be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to come here and die for us. He's not ashamed to be identified with us, as failing as we are. He's pleased to be present where twos or threes are gathered on the Lord's Day, and even today in our conference. May we not be ashamed to be a testimony for Him, to live for His glory. So maybe one can, unless anyone have a hymn or another song to sing from the sheets or from the book.
Yeah, holy, thanks God, and voice. We have had a wonderful time, and I guess we are continuing some of the things, the things that we looked at. There are some things in Scripture that Lord really bring out to us so that we can understand natural things. He speaks about the light and the darkness. He speaks about the sheep, and He speaks about the goat. He also speaks about the wheat, and He speaks about the tear. But we decided, yeah, those inside here are inside here tonight who would leave and who not know the Lord Jesus. I hope and trust that each and every one of us inside here know the Lord Jesus. And we'll be thinking about and contemplating the coming of the Lord Jesus. It will be wonderful. Just like how we gather here, the Lord Jesus should come and we all will be called up.
I would like to suggest that we maybe see one verse of 364. But before we sing it, I wonder if someone around here today saying, well, I've been in relationship with the Lord for a long time, but I've been behaving as if I'm in darkness. What should I do? Well, the Lord, our God, is a wonderful, gracious God. You can keep short accounts, as Brother Dennis was telling us. Go today, go now, and tell them, Lord, make me light from now on. Repent of what happened before in the past. And rest assured that He will forgive you. And He will start a new, very clean page with you. If you're wondering in your mind, can the Lord forgive me for all what I did? I've known Him as my Savior 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 2 years ago, 9 years ago, but I've been trying to mold and to mix with those that are darkness. What should I do? Sacrifice this and come to the Lord Jesus and tell Him, Lord, I need Him. He will never turn you away.
remember something else. Satan, when you ask the Lord to forgive you, it's finished. It's over with. Remember that. You and I, you're sorry? Okay. And I'm still holding that vow. The Lord forgives and forgets. You bring it to Him. You confess like David did. And you come tearfully eyed, broken hearted, and you confess your sin. It's over with. Even today, we're sinners. Remember, we still have to go before Him. But Satan, the adversary, is going to throw that guilt complex on you. And you know, he's going to intervene. Oh, you know, but I already dealt with that, Lord. And now you start to have second doubt. Never have a second doubt. It's finished. When you've gone before the Lord, it's over. Leave it behind. Satan wants to stir the pot. Bring it back up. Let it go. Let it go. It's finished.